Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that God has made. We all should take the time, find something, and rejoice in it. You know, God is a good God. He promised never to leave us, never to leave us alone. Well, it's Wednesday night, and it's time for Inspirational Wednesday by the broadcast station Words of Wisdom, and I'm your host, Diane Adams. As always, it's a privilege and an honor to come before you with the Word of God. I don't take this assignment lightly, and I thank God for allowing me to be able to go before His people. And I have the confidence, and I realize that whatever God put in your hand, He also provides the provisions. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to play a song. And once we play the song, we're going to come back and we're going to give God the praise, the honor, and the glory. And after we do that, we're going to go into the lesson. So I'm going to play a song now that I think is appropriate for the lesson. And I pray that you be prayerful and listen to the words of the song. I think it's appropriate for the lesson. And I pray that you enjoy the melody of the melody of the music. And we'll come back and go into the lesson. Thank you.
Yeah.
And that was, we come this far by faith. Well, I want to let you know the topic tonight is, what does the Bible say about faith? And we're coming from Romans, the 12th chapter, the 3rd through the 5th. But I ask that you all read the entire 12th chapter of Romans so you could get a feel of what everything was about. It's now time to go to the throne of grace. And if anybody would like to pray or sing or join in this Bible study as a participant, you can press the one button on your phone right now, and I'll open the mic and I'll let you have way with the airwaves. So if someone would like to pray, I see that a caller has pressed the one button. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, it is Madison. How you doing today, Madison?
Good.
How was your day at school?
Good.
You call in to pray?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you can go ahead.
God, thank you for this beautiful day that people are able to wake up and hear this lesson about you, and that they can go to sleep knowing that you watch over them, and that they could get a new experience of learning about God than just going to church and hearing it from others, and they can get extra education about God in their own way, that they could do it at home while they're comfortable, while cleaning up or doing something, just while listening. And thank you that you just let people know that you watch over them, and that you show some ways that you're watching over them. And please just watch over them, even everybody that might not think that you're alive, but please just give them signs to make sure that they know that you are alive, God. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you so much, Madison, for calling in. And I know you have to get ready for school, but if you can, listen to a little more of the program.
Okay.
It would be good. It's always good. And I'm asking everybody to continue to pray for my grandson, that God build an edge of protection around him. Not only him, but all of our youth. Pray for the children in school. Pray for the teachers and the administrators, that they do what's right and necessary for our children. Pray for the parents, that they join in and be supportive to everything that is going on. Madison, I just want you to know that I love you and thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
And good night. But stay on the program if you can, babe.
Okay.
That was Madison Chamber. He's 12 years old now, and he's been praying on the line for several years. And I go back and I listen to a tape. I listened to one other day, and it amazed me, you know. And at that time, I said, that's Madison Chambers, my grandson, and he's 9 years old. And tonight I have to express that he's 12. If anybody else would like to say anything or pray or sing a song, you could press the one button on your phone. I'll open the mic. If not, we'll get into the lesson. Our lesson tonight is, what does the Bible say about faith? Coming from Romans, the 12th chapter. Well, as always, I give a background, and I thought it was so fitting to use faith, since that's what the topic is going to be about for our background scripture. You know, if I ask everybody to press the button and explain what faith is, you would have to ponder a little while, because faith is something that we all say we have, and sometimes it may be hard to express because it has no logic, no physical logical explanation behind it, because we place our faith in a God that we can't see. We place our faith on the 66 books of the Bible that was written several thousand years ago by 40 different men. And a lot of people like to say that the Bible contradicts itself, or how you know it's real, because it was written by man. But yes, it was written by man, but it was definitely inspired by God, and that's what our faith allows us to do, believe in the word of God. The word of God is God speaking, and if God said it, we believe it. And we have to do that by faith. You see, faith, you know, when you ask what faith is, and I went to the Bible and they, what faith is, the Bible give a definition, sort of. It's not a definition what it is, but it is what faith is. You see, in Hebrew 11, the first chapter says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So if you look at this scripture, they say now faith. The reason they say now, because when you receive faith, you had it right then and there. It's a now thing, not a later thing. We have faith now if we believe in Jesus Christ. So they say now faith is. And then they say the word substance. And the word substance, I looked it up in the dictionary, and they say it's defined as that which is eternal. You know, when you have substance, you have quality. You are solid substance. And they say something that is solid and sound. And then, you know, the scripture goes on to say things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, I want to tell you tonight, if you can see it, you don't need faith. Where does faith come from? Could be the next question. So I went over to the book of Romans 10 and 17, and it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that's how you have the faith, and you learn to work the faith, and you learn to trust the faith by hearing of the word of God. So the more you hear and truly begin, the more your faith will increase. You see, once you truly believe in something, it produces faith. That's how, you know, you got to truly believe in something to have faith in it. You know a lot of people in your life you don't have no faith in because they have proven that they may say one thing and do something else. You know, plenty of people may act one way, but say they are something else, and you can't get faith. You just can't get your finger on it, and you can't trust them, you know, and you can't trust somebody you don't know. So that's the same way with God. The more you know him, the more he has proven himself, the more you read and believe, it produces faith. I like to tell people this when you use this scripture, Romans 10 and 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, every time you go to church, a Bible study, look at somebody preaching or teaching on the TV, you're hearing what they say. But somewhere down the line, I learned that every time I speak about the goodness of Jesus to someone, every time I tell someone how good God is, if I have to tell a testimony about what God has done in my life, if I have to say, you know, that I'm waiting with patience on God, you know, faith comes by hearing. You could hear from others, but when you speak with your mouth, your ears hear what you say. So that's why God says share the word of the gospel, because it will edify you. So don't walk around with a closed mouth. Because the Holy Ghost has things that you have put inside of you that he wants you to share with someone. And when you share those things, you hear yourself. You see, once you believe in something, it produces faith. Faith is when you believe, then trust something or someone without logical proof. But you see, as a Christian, our faith is in God, who we haven't seen, but yet we believe by faith. Perhaps no other component of the Christian life is more important than faith. I want to tell you tonight, you cannot work for it, purchase it, sell it, or give it to your friend. It's a gift from God. You see, God has designed it that everything you will ever need, everything you will ever become, how we live a life of success, it all depends on our faith. So you might say, what is faith? And what role does faith plays in a Christian life? And I pondered over that for a while, and this is what I came up with. Faith is the fabric that holds our relationship together with God. The Bible has much more to say about faith and how important it is. You see, in fact, it is so important that without faith, we have no place with God, and it is impossible to please Him. According to the Bible, faith is belief in the one true God, His Son, and His Spirit without actually seeing them. So your next question might be, where does faith come from? Faith is not something we conjure up on our own, or is it's something that we were born with, nor is faith the result of diligence in study or pursuit of spirituality. Faith is simply given to us by God. Faith is given to us about God. Faith is given to by God, along with His grace and mercy, according to His holy plan and purpose. And because of that, He gets the glory. Like just about everything in our lives that is necessary with us dealing with our lives as Christian and our eternal life and salvation that we will receive once we go, all of the things that was necessary to make that happen is a gift. You have to remember everything that God created was for His glory. You know, a lot of times people say, well, Sister Diane, what can I do to increase my faith? Some people don't believe they have strong faith. Some people believe they have great faith. But if you want to increase your faith, you need to use it, because if you don't use it, it's a form of abusing it. You have it. It's there for you. You know how you could say sometimes they could have something going on in your family and something that went all wrong and everybody's in a ruckus and everybody's running around and they losing their strength and everything, and they have one or two or however many persons, you know, that's just calm and patient and not breaking down. And you might say that person is strong, but that person is holding on to the confession of their faith. God gave us a gift of faith. And when we get in a lesson, we're going to see how much and why. You see, why have faith? God designed a way to distinguish between those who belong to them and those who don't. And it is called faith. Don't you know by being a child of God, your faith separates you from the ones that doesn't have it? Very simply to put it, we need faith to please God. You know, when you have faith in God, you're saying, God, I trust you. God, I believe you. God, if you say that, you mean it. God, you're right here by me. You when you have faith, you're believing in the word of God. That God, if God said he could do it. You see, this is not to say that we have faith in God just to get something from him. But I can tell you this. God loves to bless those who are obedient and faithful. You see, when sin entered the world by Adam and Eve, it separated us from God because God cannot dwell in sin. Psalms 5 and 4 says, "For you are not a God that take pleasure in wickedness, nor evil dwell in you." You see, that's what the psalmist David said. He knew God cannot dwell in sin, and when Adam and Eve sinned, it separated us from God. Oh, but God had a plan to have fellowship with, to be and to love his people and for his people to love him. But you see, once sin entered the world, it separated us from God, and God made it possible for us to have a relationship with him. God knew that we would sin. Hallelujah. Because nothing takes God by surprise, because he is all-knowing. So God promised that he would do a new thing way back in the book of Genesis that would be able to reconcile us back to him. The new thing would involve faith. God himself would become flesh and be born as his son, Jesus, and would become the once and for all sacrifice that would take away the sins of the world. You see, John 3:16 say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life." You see, without Jesus, we would have died in our sins, never to live again. What Jesus did with his death on the cross, being buried in a borrowed tomb, and resurrected on the third day, allows us to be saved from the penalty of sin. Jesus took the sting out of death. And you can only receive him by faith. So I hope you understand the importance of faith and what it is and what how God gave it to you and why he gave it to you and what he wants you to do with it. You know, faith is a tool that you have to take you high as you want to go. Faith is a tool that could bring you out of any situation. It could bring you from the bottom to the top. Come on now, y'all. Faith is the substance of things that's hoped for, things that you don't have now but you want. That you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You can only receive Jesus Christ by faith. So we're going to go into the lesson right now. And we were starting at I pray that y'all read the whole 12th chapter of Romans, but we're going to read the third through the fifth verse. It's going to be expounded on tonight. And you could connect the other information that you receive when you read it with it to see what the word of God is truly saying. And verse 3 say, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, this is Paul speaking, y'all. Paul is the writer of the book of Romans, and he's teaching the Roman Christians, and he makes this statement at this time. He say, "For I say, through the grace that has been given to me," he's talking about the grace he received once he accepted Jesus Christ for salvation. He said, "To everyone that is among you," what he's talking about, everybody, the body of Christ, the Christians, who have accepted Christ. He said not to think more highly than he ought to think. What is he saying? But to think soberly. He's saying, you know, it's a gift from God, and everybody who accept Jesus Christ by faith have this grace. And everybody becomes a Christian, and everybody by faith receive grace in the children of God. So he's saying, don't think you got more. Don't think you are more. He said, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to, because the doing of this was not by your hands. It's a gift. He said, but think soberly with a clear mind. And this is the main part of the lesson I'm talking about. He said, according as God has dealt to every man, now watch this, the measure of faith. So this is telling us right now when we read the scripture that God has given everybody, and the scriptures say the measure of faith. Some people say a measure of faith. But everybody, once they believe, receives the measure of faith. So all of us have faith. Some faith is stronger, some faith is higher, some faith is more solid, but it depends on the individual. You see, Ephesians 2:8-9 makes it clear. 8th verse, for by grace we are saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And the 9th verse say, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, when God made this master plan and he determined how he would reconcile us back to himself, you see, God say he's a jealous God. Nothing that God set up or orchestrated or even allowed could give anyone a chance to boast about how good I am and what I did and why I did it. And people do it all the time. But God hates a person that boasts, and he hates a prideful person, because the Bible teaches that there's always destruction with pride. You could say what you did. The scripture right here is telling us it is a gift of God, not of works. That's why they say you can't work yourself into heaven. You can't work yourself to be a part of Jesus. You have to come through by faith. And once you come through by faith, you receive grace. You see, it is not obtained by our power or our free will. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. If you believe this scripture, you might ask yourself the question, well, how much faith did I receive in this measure of faith God dealt to me? Some people even believe that God gave some a smaller measure of faith than he gave someone else. But I came to tell you tonight, God is no respecter of person. And I want to let you know, whatever the measure is, the measure that you were given when you received Christ as your Lord, Savior, and Master, the amount of faith, the measure you received was enough to cause you to be born again and to become a new creature. You know, once we accept Christ, they say old things pass away and behold, all things are new. We're supposed to be a new creature because God is now living inside of us and we are his children and he should be our Lord and all of this should be going on so it would be new. You see, whatever measure of faith you got, it was enough to do that. And it is enough to bring victory over everything that this world can throw your way. You got to believe it. And how do you believe it? By faith. When you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the faith of God took up residence in your heart. It is a gift of God delivered by the Holy Spirit. Now, you guys know the fruit of the Spirit, which could be found in Galatians 5:22. There was 9 virtues and fruit that when the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of you, if you visit that list again, you'll see that faith is among those things. So when the Holy Ghost came and took up residence in your heart, he brought along with him the 9 fruits of the Spirit. You know, love, peace, joy, faith, long-suffering, gentleness. You know, all of those fruit came to live inside of you, and faith was one of them. So we know we receive the measure of faith once we believe. You see, grace is a gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God. And faith to receive salvation is a gift from God. This is not human or philosophical faith. The faith that was imparted in you is God's own brand of faith, given to you to keep. Just like you can't lose your salvation, you can't be separated from God. It's your faith, it's for yours to keep. It is yours. It resides within your spirit. It is in there to develop and for you to use in your daily life. You know, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. God has given you this powerful faith to sustain you in this life, in this world that is ruled by the spirit of darkness. It is so powerful that even a measure as big as a mustard seed can pluck up a mountain, cast it into the sea. So if you have faith the size of a mustard seed and you have worked and developed and trust God and your faith has grown and it's much more than a mustard seed, imagine what you can do. And the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He orchestrated it, the author and the finisher of our faith. So that means he's all in the middle. Come on now. This faith has the power to make all things possible to believers. Faith is born in the heart at the time of conversion. And if you receive Jesus as your Lord, then the faith of God is now in you. That's why the scriptures say now faith. It is now in you. The measure of faith you receive is enough to do whatever it is called upon to do because Jesus is the author and the finisher of it. You know, faith calls on you all the time, but you don't always listen. Something go wrong and you say, well, I'm going to trust God, and 5 minutes later you done jumped up and trying to fix it. You know, something go wrong and you know about faith, so you're going to try this one out in faith, but, you know, an hour later, you know, you're just crying and can't stop, and you're taking your mind off of Jesus, worrying about the situation, and soon as you do that, faith that the Satan, the enemy, comes in and plants the seed of fear, and fear and faith cannot operate together, because you either is going through the situation with faith, or you're going to walk through it with fear, and you get to make the decision. You know, with everything in our lives and everything that will ever be in our lives, God has always did everything that he was supposed to do. God is not short of his word, and he never set you up to fail, so he know everything that you will ever need to make it in this side, because he got you in the next side. But we just have to go through this life to get to the other side. But while we're here, he provides everything that we ever need to live a righteous life. And that's why he gave us that measure of faith. You see, you have to allow God's word to become the compass. You know what a compass is. A compass is something that gives you direction and you follow whatever the compass is pointing to. And that's the way you go, because you believe that's the best way and that's the best route. So you have to allow God's word to become the compass of your entire life by faith. And you will see that it's all that you ever need. Faith is our help. It holds you together in the midst of trouble. You know, and you have to use Jesus as your example. Because, you see, no matter what came upon Jesus, Jesus knew his intended purpose. And we all have an intended purpose in Jesus. We all have direction for what God wants us to do or to become or how to act. That's all in the word of God. Jesus knew all of this. And if we use Jesus as our example, because he finished the race that was set before him. He finished it. And he finished it in a manner that pleased his Father. And that should be our goal when it's all over, if God can say, my servant, well done. You know, I'm not saying, now y'all listen to this, I'm not saying that faith will produce all your desires when you want it, how you want it, or even how you want it and when you want it. You know, you got to remember God is in control. Faith will not produce all your desires when you want them, how you want them, or even why you want it. But faith allows us to trust God with the outcome. Now, if you get that, you're going to be there. Faith don't always give you what you want. But if you realize God is in control and he knows what's best, whatever the outcome is, you got to learn to be all right with it. That's what faith does. It just don't, you know, do everything you want it to do, when you want it to do it, how you want it to do it. But it trusts you to be settled in the outcome. You see, we will face many trials, tribulation, adversities, and God uses these things to increase our faith, because no pain, no gain. You see, with faith, it's never what comes our way, but who we go through it with. That's why plenty of times they say, oh, Sister Diane, I'm going through. I say, you're going to where God want to bring you. Faith says no matter the outcome, God knows best. Not our will, but thy will, O Lord. You see, this measure of faith that I'm talking about that we read in the scripture, I want you to know God gave it to you. But what it does, how far it goes, how strong it gets, depends on you. The more you know, the more you grow. Faith that is used more often becomes a faith of substance. You know, in the scripture they say faith is the substance of things, so that substance. Faith that is used more often becomes a faith of substance that is solid. God wants us to know him and to completely rely on him for directions in our lives. It's through the hearing, the reading, and the meditation of the scripture that we begin to experience a strong, confident faith that excludes worry and fear. Now, y'all going to have to give yourself a test tonight and see where you're at and determine where you want to go, because the Bible teaches us to make a plan and work the plan. And a true Christian every now and then take inventory of themselves and they see what direction they need to go in more. You know, spending time in prayer and quiet worship develops a relationship with our Heavenly Father that sees us through even the darkest of night. You know, you need some word, and I tell everybody to get them a song, because when everything has gone wrong and it's late in the middle of the night and you can't sleep, you got to be able to hold on to the confession of your faith. And you have to say to that situation, that fear that Satan is trying to give you, I'm going to trust the Lord with all my heart, and I'm not going to lean to my own understanding right now. Come on, y'all. You see, that's the faith. You speak faith on that situation. You know, you have to say, I know that God is going to work it out together for my good. But you got to believe it. You have to say, you know, I feel like I'm all alone, but I know that God has not left me, because he said he'll never leave me. He'll never leave me alone. Hallelujah. When your enemy's trying to attack you, he's, you know, the word of God say, hold on, I'll make your enemies your footstool. See, that's holding on to the confession of your faith. You say you have faith, and faith in what? The word of God. So when you have to hold on and have to work your faith, you have to use the instruments given to you, which is the Bible. You see, God is kind and understanding towards our weakness, but he requires us to go forward in faith. And the Bible is clear that faith does not mature or strengthen without trials. Adversity is God's most effective tool to develop faith. The pattern is evidenced in the scripture. God takes each one of us through fearful situations, and as we learn to obey God's word and allow it to saturate our thoughts, we find each trial become a stepping stone to a stronger and deeper faith. You can't have faith if you never trust God. You can't never have faith if you never trust faith. Did you put faith out there and wait for the answer? It gives us the ability to say, he sustained me in the past. He'll carry me through today. And he'll uphold me in the future. What else do you need? You have to believe it to achieve it. But that's what faith make you stand strong. Faith make you stand tall. You know, and I'm going to read the fourth verse now. And it says, for we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one to another. You know, Paul was talking about faith in the earlier scripture, and the two scriptures was over that by being not being conformed to the world and becoming a living sacrifice, is verse 1 and 2. We just doing 3, 4, and 5, and the rest of the verses in the Bible, you know, you read it, you'll see. But that's what the scripture says, 4 and 5. But if you read the entire 12th chapter, you see that this goes on to speak about one body with many members. We are all a part of the body of Christ. And people may not know, what is the body of Christ? The body of Christ is the church. Not the church building, but Christians are the church. We go to church on Sunday, to a church building where we fellowship and supposed to be doing things that related to God and kingdom building. But we are the church. So we are part of the body of Christ, which is the church. And for it to function and operate effectively, God, through faith, administered gifts, offices, and ministry. And everybody don't have the same gift, but all the gifts is necessary to operate. You know why? Like we think of the world and everything that's in the world, and we could think about a job, and we think some jobs is more better. They may pay more. They may have more benefits, but a job is a job. And you see, each job is important, because imagine if the guys that's picking up the trash decide not to pick up the trash for 2 months, how much our lives would be effective. You know, some people call those low jobs. But God knew, just like he knew in the world, in the body of Christ, he needed these jobs, offices, and ministries to take place so that the church could operate effectively. You see, all of our assignments, which are gifts, were designed by God with provisions of the measure of faith. All gifts are necessary, and each plays an important part. Wherever God have you working in, or whatever God have you doing in the body of Christ and for kingdom building, I came to tell you with all confidence that there is no big I's and no little U's. You know, people get the big head. And at the end of the scripture, when we read in 3, he says, you shouldn't think more of yourself than you ought to. And he was using that to say, while you operating in these gifts, don't stand up tall that you better than the ones around you. You can't be effective like that because people will see it. You wouldn't be let your light so shine. You see, when you do it God way and you do your office humbly because you remember it's only a gift and you ain't that special, God, lights begin to show in you. And the scriptures say that we should let our light so shine that men should see the good works and glorify the Father. You have to say when you're doing your job, I don't care if it's the usher or the preacher. I don't care if it's the maintenance man or the one who cleaned the toilet. I don't care whatever job you have taken in your hand, in the body of Christ, operating in the church building, you should let your light so shine. You see, all gifts are equally important, and everybody has one or more. So you can't, you know, they have people sitting in the pews that still saying, I'm waiting till God tell me what I want to do. That's fine to bring things into prayer, but you got enough common sense to see where there's a need is. Where there is a need. And you start doing it there. You sometimes have to look within yourself. You know, it was a long time ago, but I couldn't figure out what God wanted me to do in the church that I was in at that time. Everybody was saying, tap your untapped potential and learn where you are. And every now and then somebody said, oh, I done found out where I supposed to be. God answered the question and you know, so on and so on. And I felt like, what is the matter with me? And I pondered and I prayed and I waited and I didn't hear. So one day I said, let me just do this. God created me. And everything that he put in me is already in me. So I started, you know, thinking about it, you know, using some common sense. And I tried to figure out what was in me that could be used for the kingdom or the church building. So I said, you know, one thing I know, I love people. I love to greet people. I love to meet people. I said, so I'm going to become an usher. So I started ushering. It might have was like, I don't know, 15 years of me ushering. Well, more than that, really. And it was amazing because I would usher on the street. I would usher at the grocery store. Somebody come, I hold a door open and fan my hand. And it came natural because I was an usher. So I figured that I had found my place or that I wasn't making a mistake. Or I wasn't some way God didn't want me. But lo and behold, as time went on, and while I was still ushering, God gave me a gift of teaching. And while I was still ushering, God gave me a gift of ministry. You know, sometimes you got to start somewhere. God may want to put you here for a while because you could learn and experience something here that could be used where he want to bring you. But I came to tell you tonight, all of us have one or more. The Bible say the harvest is plentiful, but the labor is a few. Each one of us should be willing to do our part. Each gift should be used for the edifying of the church and the glorifying of God. That's why it has been said, to whom much is given, much is required. And because God has given some of us so much, don't mumble and grumble and complain when much is asked of you. Because to whom much is given, much is required. With the faith that has been given to you, walk in your gift and use it well. Our gifts are just what is said. Our gifts, get it, is just what it says. A gift from God. And no one should think more highly of themselves than they should. Because when a person feel like that, a person feel that way and act that way, they can't be effective. Not with the people of God. Remember that. And as I close, we believe in God's existence by faith. And we can say with confidence that the very thing that he has begun in us, he's able to complete it until the day of Jesus. You see, that's faith. That's a scripture. I think that's Philippians 1:6. I am confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in me will perform it until Jesus come back. That's enough victory for you to shout on. You see, the measure of faith that was imparted in you once you believe is powerful. It must be nurtured and cultivated by God's word. You see, as you grow in the knowledge of God, you develop in faith. So if you ask me, Sister Diane, how I can increase my faith? As you grow in the knowledge of God, you develop in faith. Make yourself strong on the promises of the word of God. You don't know all God has for you because you never read it. Release your faith in those promises and activate them in your life. You see, our falter can and will falter at times. But because it's a gift of God that he has given to his children, he will provide trials and testing in order to prove that your faith is real and sharpened and strengthened. How would God know you have faith if you never had a trial? How could you know about good times if you never had none bad? How would God know how you would act under pressure if he didn't put the pressure on? You see, the result you desire will surely come to pass. It is a fact. God's word will work for you. Allow the faith of God in you to work for you in every area of your life. It is yours for the using. Because if you have little faith, you will have little power. And that's our lesson for tonight. And I saw that someone had a button press, and I didn't notice it till after we had started. And if anybody would like to expound on the lesson, ask for prayer, give encouragement, sing a song, this is our body study, and you are invited to participate. But the number is 23760. I don't know if the call is still on or if they still want to say something, but I'm going to give you the opportunity at this time. Caller, your number is 23760. You're still on the line?
Yes, I'm still on the line.
And you, what did you want to say or do tonight?
Oh, I was just calling to say thank you for the prayer that Mason gave. And the lesson was dynamite, Diane. It was so good. We talked about it earlier, Monday Bible study, but tonight it was awesome. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for the lesson, because I got better understanding from it. And I want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and good night.
Well, I thank you, Sister Sandra, for pressing the button. And I'm sorry for taking so long to get to you. But God is able, and he wants
yes,
us
he
to
is.
Learn and to be able to have faith. Because that's the only thing that's going to carry us through. Wait on God. Bring it to him and leave it there. That's faith. And the answer might not be like you want it, but it's the best one for you. Because trusting God is saying that you realize that God knows best. And you can't lose with something like that. So I just want to say thank you. And I'm gonna keep praying for you and your family. And you be blessed. Would anyone else like to say anything? Sing a song, lead us out in prayer. It is now 9:27 and we have 3 minutes. God is a God of order and an on-time God. So if not, I'll do a benediction. Or I have another caller. Your caller, your number is 504-355-6262. Your line is open at this time. Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on, caller. Caller, your number 504-355-6262. Your line is open.
Yeah, Miss Diana, this is Kathy Foxworth.
Thank you, Kathy, for staying on the line.
Yeah, well, how you doing tonight? Your lesson
I'm doing
was beautiful.
Very good.
I know your lesson was beautiful, but I just want to ask for prayer first and God for myself, my job, and the Johnson and Jenkins family, and they're bereaved right now. And I just want to ask for prayer for them and for myself and for my family.
Okay, Sister Kathy, we'll do a prayer. And that's the Jenkins family, right?
Yeah, the Johnson and Jenkins family.
The Johnson and Jenkins. Okay,
right.
I'll include a special prayer calling him out by name once we get ready to go off the air. And thank you for calling in. And God bless
you
and be with you.
The lesson was excellent.
Thank you so much for the encouraging words.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone else who would like to say anything before I go into prayer and we close for tonight? I have another caller. Your number is 504-5. Okay, let me start over. Your number is 504-54272. Your mic is open.
This is Racine all the way from Missouri City, Texas. And I just want to say I've been truly blessed. The lesson tonight was right on point for me. I believe that I'm highly favored, and I believe that my faith has allowed that to be so for me. And for me, I thank you. I thank God for allowing me to be me, and I thank you for bringing this word to me on tonight, because, again, it was on point, and it was just confirmation for me. And I just want to say I love you, Sister Diane. Thank you.
I love you, too. I love you, too, little old girl. That's my little baby sister, Racine, calling from Missouri City, Texas, and it's a blesser. You know, I really feel blessed, you know, because it's so special when, you know, the Bible teaches us that man cannot get honor within his family sometime in his own hometown. But God has given me the opportunity where my family is connected to my program, my grandson, my sisters. My stepmom was when she was able. My aunt calls in and my nieces and my nephews. than the people at the church that I go to. Some of them call in and my neighbors call in. And that's truly a blessing. So, little sis, I tell you thank you, and I pray that you keep listening in. And may the favor of God always be upon you and operate through you. In the name of Jesus is my prayer for you. Any more callers? If not, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to do a prayer and we're going to end the program. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, to give up every perfect gift, the word that went forth tonight says that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. The word tonight says that you have given us a measure of faith. The word tonight speaks about the gift that you have given us of grace through your Son, death, burial, and resurrection. The lesson tonight tells us that we are one member of the body of Christ. There's one body of Christ, which is the church, and we are all members, and each one of us had to play a part. Open up our ears to God that you could direct us and we could hear what you want us to do. Order our footstep and allow your word to be a compass in our lives. Lord, we can't make it without you. And as we go through life, dear God, and things seem sometimes to get us down, teach us, dear God, how to hold on to the confession of our faith. Because faith is what allows us to go through anything that this world can throw at us. Lord, I'm asking for prayer on the Johnson and the Hawkins family. I think that's what she said. If not, forgive me. But, Lord, I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you in prayer for the Foxworth family. Lord, I'm asking that you look down upon Kathy Foxworth and bless her and all of the blessings that she's in need of. Strengthen her, dear God, as she searches for your word. Let it become true. Let it not return void. I ask the Holy Ghost that he give each and every one that calls in illumination and revelation. Lord, teach us how to walk in our gifts and our ministries, and teach us how to stay in our own lane, and let us not cross over to something that you don't want us to be, dear God, but let us do well right where you want us to be. Lord, bless the families that call in, and bless the jobs that's there, and bless the finances and the health, dear God, because I know you're able. Lord, have mercy upon us. Find favor in our lives. Thank you for this opportunity. And if it's your will, we'll meet back on again. We'll meet again next week on Wednesday. In the name of Jesus, I offer up this prayer unto you, the love of my soul. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, that's our program for tonight. As always, if anyone have a lesson they would like to be studied, and if they have a suggestion that they want to give, you can always do it. This is our Bible study. It's not mine. And with all that being said, I have to tell you good night. I thank God for you. And if it's God's will, we'll meet again. So I want to let each and every one of you know, each and every one of you to know that God loves you, and so do I. Be blessed and have a great night in the Lord, and go to sleep in faith and wake up in faith and move in faith and be in faith, because faith is a good place to be. Faith gives you an extraordinary feeling you didn't even know you could feel, because that's confidence, and you know it's going to be all right. So I say to each and every one of you, good night.